What's up, you guys? Sean Rossap, FightfulSelect.com. It is the Backstage Report. Let's go ahead and get into it. We got so much stuff. I reported a lot of news on the NXT Evolve show that was filmed recently. Now, I need to specify, this is not greenlit. It is not a go. It is not thumbs up, full steam ahead. From what I understand, this was a proof of concept type of thing, and that NXT Evolve was sort of a, let's show what we can do. And Gabe Sapolsky and Jeremy Borash were heavily involved in the production, which featured NXT Evolve graphics, and I believe a title belt was prepared. But we're told that this is unlike anything else WWE is doing. From what I heard, Josiah Williams was the host of the show, which saw more of an underground fight feel to it. I mean, I'm sure you've seen elements of it on Raw Underground and things like that. But this was an idea that has existed for over 2 years, and it was supposed to be called NXT Underground, and was supposed to feature some of the lesser used NXT names at the time, but it didn't end up happening. The platform and the solid plans for the show are not set in stone as of yet, but I've heard that there are a lot of signings since, I want to say about last August, last September, that are involved. I know a lot of the new female signings are involved as well. The tapings took place at the warehouse that WWE briefly used as a makeshift performance center. So if you wondered what kind of conditions and situations that the wrestlers were in during that, I mean, it's being converted into this studio, so to speak, or was, rather. But yeah, I've been told that this is a lot different than anything else. I heard a lot of positivity coming out of this as well. That this is a much different approach than everything else, and that's kind of what they want for developmental as opposed to NXT, which is now the full-fledged third brand. Let's keep it rocking with NXT news. Kyle O'Reilly. So speculation was running rampant last Wednesday after Kyle O'Reilly was stretchered to the back after an attack by Adam Cole. It was a storyline all along, but unfortunately one dumbass fan posted pictures of it and started a rumor that it was a seizure. And considering O'Reilly's history with diabetes, this caused a lot of concern even among that NXT roster who were not sure if the situation was real or not. There were people all the way around that were like, oh my God, is this real? I got word, I want to say, within an hour of the show ending from someone who I had never spoken to before that said they were from the Stanford office. And they were like, listen, this is a storyline. We've been told it was. And I just waited for WWE to confirm it because it's better to wait for their confirmation on something like that than run with something that I can't verify, because we were trying to find out all the way through that show while we were on the air. But when WWE realized how out of hand the incorrect rumors were, they sent word that it was just a storyline. Kyle O'Reilly tweeted about it Thursday, all that. But the roster is not usually clued in to all aspects of creative, so this was not something that was out of the ordinary. And WWE sources that I spoke to adamantly stated this was not a seizure storyline, and there was no mention of a seizure brought up in the creative, in the execution, either there personally or anything. There was never anything like that, and there was never an intent for it to be a story such as that. Now, here's the thing. WWE, you can blame them for a lot of stuff. They do a lot of really, really dumb shit. But this ain't one of them. This is Kyle O'Reilly doing his job well. This is WWE filming something for after the show, which they often do. They often film stuff to go up on digital or to run next week. That's okay. What? Like, I don't understand why people were so upset about that. You're going to have stretcher jobs in pro wrestling. It's going to happen. Keith Lee, not in attendance at Elimination Chamber. We'll have more on his status later. But I also spoke to Dakota Kai, learned a lot more about the process that went into her career. The idea was WWE's to put her and Raquel Gonzalez together, but considering they worked together on opposite sides of the ring a lot, it eased her into the process and made her comfortable. She said she had some hesitation to go heel because she'd been a babyface almost all of her career, and it's easy and natural for her. But she said that she got a lot of help from Triple H and Shawn Michaels, Road Dogg, Sarah Amato, all that, and it's been a lot easier for her since then. One of my favorite parts of the interview, I asked her about Rhea Ripley stuffing her in the locker, and the way that she got talked into it was Rhea Ripley actually saying that she could fit in the locker herself. Now, she didn't show Dakota Kai this, so I wonder if she was ribbing. But Dakota Kai said that she heavily credited Xavier Woods for pitching her and the rest of the Bree Stark group as a part of Up, Up, Down, Down, which greatly helped them in that regard. Grizzled Young Vets, they impressed so many within NXT, but that's not really anything new. They made it to the Dusty Rhodes Classic Finals for the second straight year. And in asking around, I was told that originally the Grizzled Young Vets were penciled in to win last year's tournament, but the Broserweight combo of Pete Dunne and Matt Riddle took off, and things just changed accordingly. Damian Priest is also in the favor of WWE. He's made a very positive impression over the past 3 weeks. High-level sources that spoke with Fightful said that Priest was extremely well-liked and turned heads both during his Rumble appearance as well as his Raw debut. One WWE employee said that Priest was given a full plate across both nights and did everything they could have expected from him after being thrown into the deep end and into a very important story. Speaking of the Royal Rumble, past years, Royal Rumble surprises were hidden on buses and kept out of the way, depending on the situation. But we've heard a lot of varying things about Royal Rumbles that were a part of this year's show. Several surprises were present at the women's rehearsals on Saturday afternoon before the show, and it was widely known that they'd be participating. There were a bunch that were present at the Talent Hotel and were just hanging out there the night before. And at least one more, which I think has been revealed to be Christian in the documentary that released since I was putting this report together. He was just walking around backstage, and nobody ever really thought anything about it because he's just there a lot. We're told this Royal Rumble was much laid back than in recent years, but also the people that I spoke to know that that's probably not going to be the case very often moving forward. It was a product of the times that we live in. AEW news. So they've had the new series of their action figures released, which features some repeat names again. And, you know, there's the friendly feud on Twitter between Britt Baker and Cody Rhodes. But AEW, I talked to some people there about the logistics of releasing more names. And we were told that almost everybody that was around at AEW All Out 2019 was scanned in for their figure production. A similar approach was taken with those title belt nameplates. AEW had them made for, like, everybody on the roster at the end of 2019. And those that we've spoken to about the figures say that there are already plans in place for upcoming waves, and some of the more inquisitive wrestlers have found out when they'll be released and even pushed to get released sooner, so to speak. Danhausen, not talking action figures, even though he does have a micro brawler out, please go support that. He's a great dude. But we asked him about why he's not in the Retromania or Virtual Basement Wrestling Code game. And he said that they just don't make financial sense to him for using his likeness. And if they did, he'd be open to reconsidering joining the roster. I know there have been a couple other holdouts, but I think when people see like EC3 and Enzo Amore and people like that, Cardona and Myers on the Retromania side of things, they're like, oh, well, of course a guy like Danhausen would want to be a part of it. Well, Danhausen has worked very, very hard to establish his persona and his gimmick and to do his thing. And I don't blame him. If he doesn't think that it makes that much sense and it's not worth it for him just being in the game, more power to him, man. He did tell me, however, he'd love to go to Hollywood and do television or movies. You can tell how much he loves wrestling, but you can also tell how much he wants to branch out and how ambitious he is as well. He thinks that he could be able to do stuff like that. He mentioned a talk show, even. And presentations that could shine more of a light on his personality or wrestling in general. I love the ambition. I love him stepping out and trying new things. I think it's great. Sammy Guevara and Impact. So we had a lot of news on that last week, obviously, but there was this weird internet rumor that went around that Sammy Guevara was supposed to be in Decay. Now, the reason that this went around is because I think it was PW Insider that said that a lot of the plans they had for Sammy Guevara, they used for Black Taurus. Now, here's the thing. Both can work in synergy without one being completely true. Black Taurus did get slotted into a lot of the stuff that Sammy was supposed to do, but Sammy was not supposed to join the Decay group, and PW Insider never reported that. So people that are running with that and assuming without using that reading comprehension or media literacy, I don't know where you got that Sammy was supposed to be a part of Decay. Black Taurus was already in Decay as of the last tapings. Both AEW and Impact sides of things indicated to me that this was not true whatsoever. One said that they weren't sure the plans outside of that he would wrestle Ace Austin at some point. But another with knowledge of the situation vehemently denied any plans for Sammy Guevara to be a part of Decay. And an AEW source said that was bullshit. Also, I want to credit Voices of Wrestling. I'm pretty sure they put out there that Sammy was supposed to wrestle Ace Austin. Contract updates. I don't think there are any new ones. I may not have mentioned last week. Sledge, Roosh, Dragon Lee, Bestia del Ring, Kenny King, and Slex have all re-signed with Ring of Honor, so they have shored up much of their roster. They didn't see a lot of turnover there. But the injury reports, oh, there's a lot of updates on the injury reports. Braun Strowman had an infection after the Royal Rumble, but he returned on Raw. Lacey Evans, not an injury, but she'll be inactive for a little while, at least from in the ring. She announced her pregnancy on February 15th and was pulled from WWE Elimination Chamber, as was Keith Lee. He's been out for a little bit. He was not at the show. We hope that he gets well soon. But yeah, hope that sucks, man. He was ready to emerge and do some really cool stuff, and unfortunately has been sidelined. Kip Sabian has also been sidelined since early December from in-ring work, but they were doing the wedding angle, so a lot of people kind of didn't notice that was happening because he was still featured on TV. We added Melanie Cruz to our inactive section. Now, she has not wrestled since August. We don't know if there's any injury or anything like that. I haven't noticed her ringside or anything. That doesn't mean that she hasn't been there. It just means I haven't noticed it. But AEW did tweet out something on her birthday and said, "Happy birthday to AEW wrestler Melanie Cruz." So that would indicate to me, and that was in January 7th, that would indicate to me that maybe she's still there. But that's just speculation. Heath Slater, now Heath Miller, he had ripped his adductor muscle at Bound for Glory 2020, but he was supposed to return in January, they were hopeful he could. However, he has surgery set for March. That's unfortunate. Juice Robinson seems to be okay. He had broken his orbital in December that pulled him from Wrestle Kingdom. However, he is back in action at the Impact Wrestling tapings, and I think that's a great fit for everybody involved. I think he's going to do really, really well there. Tetsuya Naito, unfortunately, he has been pulled from New Japan Road to Castle Attack with a knee injury that he has been battling, and even more unfortunate, Hiromu Takahashi looks like he's going to be out until August or September. He tore his pectoral muscle, and it was announced this morning that he would be sidelined for 6 months. 6 months. You definitely don't want to lose 6 months of Hiromu Takahashi when you already lost so much time from the guy in the past. 31 years old, so I mean, obviously he's going to be around for a very long time, but just hate to see him on the sidelines. Lady Frost sustained an injury, pulled herself from her bookings. Get well soon, Lady Frost. So normally this would feel like a super short show. I mean, hey, it'll be a little bit shorter, sure. But that's not all we got. We got stats for Elimination Chamber. How about this? The Elimination Chamber was in flux over the last week. We all saw it. The Raw Chamber match had a participant change. The U.S. title match had a participant that changed. The Miz's cash-in and the United States qualifiers obviously weren't advertised. You couldn't advertise Roman Reigns' opponent. The women's tag title match wasn't added till Friday. So when you look at everything, also the women's title match was pulled. The SmackDown Elimination Chamber match was the only match a week before the show that had all the participants advertised and happened as is. Everything else changed or was intentionally unadvertised. The Miz's win over Drew McIntyre was only 30 seconds. Roman Reigns's over Daniel Bryan was 91. Each Elimination Chamber match lasted longer than all the non-Elimination Chamber matches on the show combined. Jey Uso and Drew McIntyre were the only people with at least two eliminations. They tied for the most. Sami Zayn, King Corbin, Jeff Hardy, Randy Orton all went without eliminating anybody. Orton was the fastest elimination at only 8 minutes 55 seconds, and the next soonest was King Corbin, 17 minutes 45 seconds into the match. Daniel Bryan lasted the full 34 minutes 20 seconds in the Elimination Chamber. Daniel Bryan, John Morrison, and Drew McIntyre all technically pulled double duty on the show. And some interesting Miz stats. His title win was the first one-on-one match that he has won since winning the briefcase in October. He did win a Survivor Series Battle Royal. He's won some tag matches, won a handicap match over Sheamus. But that was the first one-on-one win since he won the briefcase in October. If that shows you any indication of how they treat that briefcase. Now, I thought it worked well for the story that was associated there, but we'll see how it unfolds. Also, those two wins, the briefcase win and the title win, those are Miz's only one-on-one victories in the last 13 months. Yikes. Oh, wow. Even as I look, I accidentally forgot a section of the Fightful Wrestling Weekly to talk about. Maki Ito. Now, I've had some people ask how this even came about. She followed me on Twitter. I reached out. She said, yep, let's do it through a translator. And I said, cool. Any way that we could possibly do that interview, I would have done. I was so excited to make that happen. Because I had some people say, oh, well, you should have just interviewed her and subtitled it. Well, this may come as a surprise to you, but I don't speak Japanese. So her speaking Japanese would not have really done me much good in that regard, because I wouldn't have known where to place the subtitles. I know that she has been working on her English and did a full-length English interview. I want to say last year at some point, definitely last year, but I was trying to think 5 or 6 months ago with Joshipod, and I listened to that, and I really enjoyed it, but she asked to do the interview via a translator, and Tokyo Joshi Pro was more than accommodating, and I want to thank them, and I want to thank Maki for doing that. But we spoke to her about it, and she said that Tokyo Joshi officials let her know she'd be a part of the AEW tournament, and that she immediately contacted her parents to tell them the news. She said that it happened so quickly that it did not feel real, and that she's working with AEW in the future, and she said that she'd be interested in joining Dark Order, but also said, but pay me, bitch, which I really liked. We spoke about the importance of social media to her growth, and she said that her experience in Link had helped prepare her for the performance aspect of pro wrestling. I am hopeful that in the future I will get a full-length video interview with Maki. We'll see how it goes. Again, whatever she's comfortable with and she thinks would be best, that's the method I usually go. And that's what I go with almost everybody, but I always at least open with doing a video interview. But I was so happy about that. And I wanted to provide a video option for our YouTube viewers, and I didn't know how it would do. But I reached out to Kayla of Church of Joshi, and I was like, hey, how would you feel about reading her responses to me? And we'll plug Church of Joshi. And Maki Ito had such colorful responses that I thought Sweet Girl from Nashville reading those responses would be kind of funny. And it's done very, very well. We've got thousands of videos on YouTube, and I think it's already hit our top 250, I think. And it's already one of our most viewed videos of 2021. So I want to thank all of you that gave that a shot. And I hope that you also support Kayla, because she's a wonderful person. So thank you all for understanding this would be a little bit more unconventional than most of the interviews that I do, and still supporting it, because as you guys saw with Inside the Royal Rumble, and as we do with Making a Finisher and a lot of stuff like that, there's a lot of stuff we try, and some of it works and some of it doesn't work, but you guys let us know what works. So thank you all so much. Till next time, we're out.